We're going to move to something completely different. We're going to have a yarn with filmmaker Molly Reynolds. G'day, Molly, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Annie.
Yes, and we're going to talk about your new film, A Portrait of Love. And I'll have to say that after I watched it, I actually had dreams about it. So it's a really effective film.
Yes, yes, and in fact, it came from a dream. I woke up in the early hours of one morning, and I thought, yes, this will be my next film, because we had just lost Craig Ruddy to complications from COVID, and in my shock and grief, that's what came to me. So I'm not surprised you're dreaming about it.
Yeah, it's quite amazing because it's made. I mean, you've had the experience of doing this, and this filmmaking experience that you're doing is further and further exploring the actual close-up relationships that people have. Isn't it true?
Yes, yeah, it is. I think, in fact, I'd make the bold declaration that most documentary filmmakers are very interested in the human condition. And in fact, when I was at school and they said, "So, Molly, what is it you want to be when you grow up?" I said, "Oh, I'd like to make films or be a psychologist." So I think I certainly gravitate towards the human condition, how we engage with one another, you know, how we see our worlds, and each of us live in a completely different world to the other.
Well, I was just going to say, it just popped into my mind, I want to tell your secrets.
Oh.
Because that's exactly what this film's like, you know, telling secrets. But it's actually, it's a love letter too. It's a love letter from Roberto, who was Craig's Ruddy's partner for 20 years. And it's made up of all this footage that they did. So charming, really.
Mm. Yes, it was. In having the epiphany, I knew that that Roberto, because Roberto and Craig had been together for 20 years, and I knew that Roberto was a compulsive filmer. With his smartphone, he would film everything and anything, either photographs or moving footage. And I hazarded a guess that the material was there, because he's got a nice aesthetic. His body works like a steady cam. And sure enough, 5,500 videos was what Sam, who was the editor, and I had to work our way through.
So it's pretty extraordinary because it's so personal. What was the relationship between Roberto and you as a filmmaker?
One of complete trust, Danny. There was a pivotal moment in the making of the film that was really liberating for me, because Roberto and I had moved on with this idea for a film with indecent haste, because I was thinking about the way in which I could finance it. I was thinking about the way in which I could save costs to make it happen. And I approached, Roberto very, very early in the piece, in the first sort of week or so. And Roberto was consumed with grief. He had a lot on his plate. And he's also not very organised with his footage. So what had happened was, we go looking for it and it is everywhere. It's on old computers, discarded smartphones, and bring it all together, and I take it to a dance in the Gold Coast and I say, please, lift what you can. And like most of his kind, he said, I don't know. But he managed to recover absolutely everything. And meanwhile, Roberto was going overseas back to Peru to spend some time with his family. So all this footage came to me sight unseen, which meant that Roberto had not applied an editorial process over it, hadn't held anything back from me. And that was a tremendous gift he gave me, because I knew I had everything and I never doubted it, and I knew that he trusted me. And so I think in short, the relationship was, you know, it was strongly grounded in trust.
Yeah, pretty amazing, actually. The whole thing's pretty amazing. And there's something else amazing about this, because it's quite clear that Roberto was deeply in love with Craig, and he also had a clear understanding of the artistic process, and he marvelled at his lover's great capacity. And so he has shot Craig in the process of making art, which is a great boon to us.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Craig as an artist was so sort of so physical, kinetic, sensual. You know, the way he sort of he moved his body to create art was almost like he danced. You know, like he was dancing. And it's so spellbinding. In part because, and as you see, Nanny, you know, he can draw two men wrestling from a starting place of nothing, and it comes together very quickly. And then he, you know, at other points, Craig is anguishing over a piece, and there's something so subtle that he wants to get right or correct or whatever else, and you can't see it at all until he actually does it. You know, that's sort of the last sort of stroke across the plane or whatever it may be. So I think that's a big component of what makes the documentary as special as it is.
Well, you're lucky, because often people just don't record enough.
Oh, yes, that's true. But then when you spend 6 weeks in the edit suite organising the footage, which has, amazingly so, no metadata. So there was no date stamp on any of the footage. Five and a half clips. And Sam and I, we would call one another detectives, because we had to organise that footage. And it took us, you know, like, oh, I would say 10-hour days over 6 weeks. And we've got Craig, who has his, you know, has this sort of blonde curly mop, a hairstyle that rarely, if ever, changes.
Well, he's a beautiful looking man.
Oh, he is. They both are. And Roberto, whose hair, fortunately, you know, grows like grass, so he was changing his haircut, you know, every month or so, which meant that we were able to organise the footage accordingly. But it was a big task, and one I hadn't anticipated.
Yeah, you know, there's so many things about this, because, I mean, you must have met Craig when he was doing the portrait of David Gupil, because...
Gupil.
I'm terrible with names, I have to say. But your film, My Name Is... quite a renowned study of an extraordinary person. And his portrait is an equally stunning portrayal of the same person. Is that when you met?
We actually met when David was quite unwell. Craig had got word that David was unwell, and he and Roberto headed over to visit David. They did it more than once. And what was significant for me was early in the piece. So we're looking around about 2018, thereabouts. Craig actually called us up and asked me, Rolf Dahir and myself, and said, what can I do for David? And during the period of time in which David was so unwell, there were very few people who stood up, you know, for David, and, you know, and were available for him. But Craig and Roberto were the exception in that regard. And in fact, Craig did a fundraiser selling some of his paintings to raise money for David that went into a funeral fund that Rolf and I had started because we promised David we would get him back to country when he died. And so we had this fund to which Craig and Roberto contributed. And that was when I went, wow, you people are, you're good people, you're special people. And I think they said the same in reply, and we became firm friends.
That's amazing. Yeah, they are special people. Tell me, must have been extremely disturbing and upsetting and distressing that he should die in what would he, I mean, he seemed to be in the pink of health. And this, of course, is what the horror of COVID was about. Making a film at the same time as grieving, tell me about what that means, because it says something about art and the filmmaker.
Yes, I think the process helped. The process of making a film was sort of cathartic as I grieved the loss of this special human being, and it was a way in which I could work my way through it. And I know it put me in a very, very unique position because Craig had a lot of people who loved and cherished him, and they were grieving as well, but in their own way. But I was kind of immersed in Craig's life. I could even say to Roberto things about Craig and Roberto together that Roberto had forgotten about,
yeah.
Because, you know, there's this footage that he hasn't seen from 7 years ago or whatever else. So in some ways it was cathartic. And it was quite interesting because I was up visiting Roberto in the pocket a couple of months ago. And I think I was home alone at the time. And I'm wandering through Craig's garden, and I thought, oh, I really miss you, Craig. And I think it was because I was so used to the footage and Craig being in it, where everybody else who'd been to the house, let's say, a little more frequently, was more used to him not being there. So I think I had a delayed response in that regard.
Yeah, I think so, probably. It's a fabulous film. A Portrait of Love, and it is. It's a love poem to Craig Ruddy, but it's so much more. And you're going to do a Q&A after the screening on Tuesday, the 11th of June at the Nova.
Yep, and I will be doing that, Annie, and Roberto will be there as well.
Well, thank you very much for spending some time here, and also for making the film, because, like I said, it just leaves such an impression.
Thank you, Annie.